WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
The future is bulletproof. The aftermath is secondary. It's time to do it now and do it loud. Killjoys, make some noise.
Everyone, welcome to WTR Sunday Night. We're back again for another fun episode. I am not the producer. I am filling in for the producer as he does producer things. I am the intern of this network, Kane Kittens. Hi. And currently joining me as part of this shenanigans is the one and only from the North, the Great White North, Tim Stein.
I'm here, and I've got sports on the TV, and all I would try to do is relax, but no, I can't. It's just not possible because for some reason, people keep hiring me to do work job stuff.
I mean, it could be worse.
It could be a case of I don't get hired to do work job stuff.
Exactly. You could not be hired to do work job stuff. So therefore,
well,
I mean,
you know, being self-employed, if you don't work, you don't get paid, you don't eat.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, you know, that being said, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. And I don't know if Lindsay's asking, why are we raw dogging it? Or if she wants to know the definition. And I'm sure she'll probably say something in the chat room once when this comes around to her. But yeah, we've got a little bit of shit to shoot tonight. Apparently, Brent.
Yes.
There are some spicy take type things we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So the producer decided he wanted to try and do something fun, which is have us take on some hot takes for this Sunday. So. Mm-hmm. We drafted a few. Maybe he has some in reserve. We're going to find out. But yeah, we're going to introduce some hot takes. We're going to talk about them. We're going to possibly debate them, depending on how spicy they are. You know,
yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. It could be, you know, a jalapeno. It could be a Carolina Reaper. We're going to find out how spicy things get.
There you go. apparently you were going to raw dog it with the producer until I showed up.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe.
So that being said, I'm going to say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward in the chat room. She hosts the Rack Radio Show Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern. And if you don't listen, you bloody well should. That's all I've got to say about that.
That's a terrible accent, Tim. That just...
Oh, that was a bogus fake accent. It wasn't a real one.
Whatever you
said. I could do my Mr. Scott from Star Trek accent because it sounds just like Scotty, which works because that was a really bad Scottish accent too.
Anyway, as they mentioned, they're going to be giving some hot takes, and it's mainly because I like hearing Brent rant about topics. Because he has a lot to rant about.
I kind of thought that you disappeared for a minute because you were mad at me.
No, I told Brent I needed 2 minutes, and he did the intro.
There you go.
that's all this was. So he
got things.
He had to do things, take care of stuff. So here we are. But yeah, I just want to hear
calls. You have to answer.
Exactly. I want to hear Brent rant about topics. That's kind of.
Oh God.
That's what this is. You're peaking, so that's you know you're on fire when you peak.
Yeah, quit peeking. I've been
peaking all weekend off stream, so
I don't need to know what you do behind closed doors, Brent. Hush.
It's a game, peak. The new level has been kicking my ass.
It's a video game. Anyway, Brent, what is your first hot take that we will tell you you're wrong about?
I'm wrong about. We'll find out. So, Rock, this is a carryover from when we had our AEW discussion a while ago, because we never fully touched on it.
Okay.
And it just so happened you have the focus of it on your screen. So this was precursor to the Last Man Standing match, or I'm sorry, the I Quit match, where he almost got drowned during the part of it, and then proceeded to tap out the guy who was portrayed as essentially a monster for the past, I don't know what year and a half, Rock,
something like that.
But I'm sorry, my hot take is Darby Allin is never truly going to be the man in AEW, no matter what they try to do with him. The fans like him, don't get me wrong.
Yes, they do,
but they like him for all the wrong reasons. And in terms of being the focus of your company, being the man who can carry the title, or I guess for lack of a better term, the flag of the company, Darby's not that guy. MJF, sure. Jack Perry, if you ever really decided to get behind him and do the thing, you could probably elevate him. Darby is exactly what Jeff Hardy was. People will cheer for him because of the moveset and because he does really stupid shit, and you just have to be like, oh my god, yay! But the thing is, he will never be the person that you could actually build a company around because of all those reasons.
Well, doing spot after spot after spot after spot doesn't tell a story.
No, and the thing is he comes out and basically says, oh yeah, I wanted to do something even dumber, but apparently, like, insurance wouldn't let me, or Tony Khan thinks I might die. And it's like, yeah, that's what the head of the company should do. He should look at that and go, you really shouldn't do that. Like, is it going to be cool? Sure. But we want you to walk in 5 years. So the answer's no. It's just... But the thing is, also, as much as they try to push him, it's shown that he will never be the true main eventer. You put him with Sting. You put him with Grandpa. And Rock, that entire run, who was the focus of it?
The Stinger.
Who got all the wins in the matches?
The Stinger.
And yet Darby was somehow, in the eyes of people, quote, elevated because of it. Sting leaves, Darby does sweet fuck all and drops right back down into a like mid-card obscurity. And then, oh, well, we're going to try and push him. Well, he gets injured. Well, we're going to try and push him. Oh, he has to go to Mount Everest. All right, well, we're going to...
Tell me...
Good.
I was just going to say, tell me an instance where he actually wasn't... Not, I'm not saying part of, but told a story in the ring. Extended. Give me an instance.
The only thing that could be linked as a story was his use of fire with Jack Perry. Now, it's not a story. It's just a couple of spots that have a very common thread, but yet he doesn't, he's not a storyteller. It's, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do spot fest, I'm going to do crazy thing, yay, and that's it.
So now, I want to find somebody comparable in WWE that does the same thing. Your extended silence is telling me that you're having a very, very hard time thinking of somebody.
I thought you were just going to volunteer this, so that's why I paused.
Oh, no, I was asking you a question. Find a contemporary in WWE that does the same thing.
I'll do it for you. All the spot monkeys left for AEW.
Pretty much, right? Now, all of the spot monkeys that left WWE didn't have any kind of sustainability to them in WWE for that very reason.
And better
look at
point.
Look at the roster that they have now.
Better point. Better point. All the storytellers from AEW went to WWE.
Yeah. You know, Rock, the one major spot monkey who left for AEW certainly lets his opinions be known on social media about what he thinks about being the most athletic wrestler in the world, end quote.
End quote.
In a very nothing tournament.
And a better to back up your other point about Darby Allin. So what was his big match a couple weeks ago? What was the big match?
The I Quit match with Jon Moxley.
That was supposed to be his big moment, right?
Moxley has done nothing ever since.
No, I meant Darby. That was supposed to be his big match.
Yeah.
What did he need as his crutch for the match?
Sting, the bat.
Yeah, yeah. He needs Sting. Sting had to show up. Retired Sting for a year or 8 months, whatever it's been.
Well, yeah. And to build off of what I had just talked about before that, Moxley lost the I Quit match, right?
He did.
In very punk fashion, not CM Punk, but like he tapped out in 7 seconds being put in the Scorpion Deathlock, even though he is, you know, he takes backdrops onto beds of nails and keeps going in a match. He took a back shot with a board with a nail in it.
Yeah.
And it didn't stop him. But yet, apparently, Darby Allin putting him in the Scorpion Deathlock will get him to tap like a bitch in 7 seconds. And by the way, since then, he has been disqualified and counted out in preceding matches with the Conglomeration. Boy, that Darby win sure is looking a lot better at this moment, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah, taking down your multi-time world champion, you know, the people who say he's one of the toughest SOBs in the industry currently, and he gets himself counted out by punching a ref, and he gets counted out and he gets disqualified for punching a ref in a nothing match. And yet he's going to end up in Blood and Guts in a week and a half. Boy, howdy, I can't wait for that match.
Here's a hot take count question for you, Brent.
Yes.
Hot take is AEW hasn't elevated a single talent in a year.
Hang on, let me go to their roster and I can double check this.
Name someone who has they've elevated in the year.
I guess they haven't necessarily elevated them. They've just kind of taken the hype and just run with it in Monet.
But she's always been a star. That's not elevating anyone.
True. I could make a case for Hangman Page.
But he was a former world champion, so it's not elevating someone who's already been there.
Statlander.
Is she, though, elevated? Is she elevated?
I know. That's the closest I can get is they actually put her into the world title picture.
They put her in a world title picture. Yeah, that's great. But from a character standpoint, has she been elevated any? What was she doing 6 months prior or 3 months prior to her winning the title? Nothing.
She was doing...
The elevating someone is actually developing the character and putting them in a position. They just threw her in there.
Yeah.
Everyone on the men's division they've tried to elevate has not done anything. Kyle Fletcher, when's the last time you cared about him? They were throwing.
Rock, he had a banger match with Ace Austin yesterday. It was amazing, according to the internet.
That's great, but he's still a mid-card guy where he was a year ago. He just has the mid-card title, which there are seven of them. Not actually seven, but you get
that
the
was,
point.
That was one of my other hot takes that we would get to in a moment.
There are multiple mid-card titles, but everything's a world title. Everything's the top title. You can't have everything be the top title.
Yeah.
But they have not done anything, because look at look who's been challenging for the world title.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing I would say. So you bring up Kyle Fletcher and his TNT title run, right?
Yeah.
The majority of his title defenses have been against who?
Dudes.
Not just that. There's been one person specifically that I would say a majority of his title runs have been against.
Was it Briscoe?
Or at least as Mark Briscoe, which they're doing another match between them. This time it's the TNT title, but if Briscoe loses, he has to join the Callis family, which isn't big enough apparently, and he has to quit the conglomeration forever. So you either A, have to take the title off of Fletcher, which
they could.
They could. He hasn't really done much with it. Or B, you take out probably one of the more charismatic faces from, and I mean, don't get me wrong, the conglomeration is nothing special, but they are apparently trying to do something with them, and you would remove the face of that group and put him with a faction which, as we talked about weeks ago, is already bloated beyond belief and would do nothing. Because you need that match to feel something, because they've already done six of them.
Yep, let's take him out of a group to be number 17 in the Callis family.
A disgruntled number 17 in the Callis family, if that happens. Because, boy, that will make for great TV, having that, like, well, he's forced to be in this group.
That's always great storytelling that we've never seen before.
Yeah. But, yes, ultimately, everyone talks about Darby being one of the four pillars. The problem is, the pillars keep changing.
There is no foundation for those pillars.
No, because it was MJF, but he has gone off to probably film a movie or do something and hasn't been on TV in a while. Jack Perry you just brought back, and people were saying, oh, well, he's a pillar. He's been there since the beginning. Look, yeah, when you gave him a singles run, it fell so flat that you had to put him back with the tag team partner that you broke him away from. Your one female pillar that you talked about hasn't been on TV in over a year now, and is basically writing out her contract because you, number one, don't have anything for her to do, and two, even if you did, it's, you know, that reputation or that relationship is probably burned by now.
But don't forget to use code BRID for DraftKings to save 10% off on your bets. That's all she does.
Fantastic. And who was the fourth? Oh, Sammy Guevara. Remember him? That pillar? I don't even, you know, the last time we saw him, he turned on Dustin Rhodes, joined Los Faction Ingobernables, and I have seen sweet fuck all about him since.
He's a staple on whatever ROH TV is, I think, maybe.
So he's pulling a Sammy Guevara, essentially. He has a moment, and then he disappears, and no one remembers him.
Yeah.
That is one of the fundamental issues with AEW at its base, is, like you said, there's no foundation. Or if it is, it is based off of, we're going to bring in the hot new thing to run with for a while, and then see where that gets us. Whether it's Daniel Bryan, whether it's Swerve Strickland, whether it's Samoa Joe, you know, oh, we're gonna bring in Andrade because he was let go and we can get that shock moment. Oh shit, no one checked his contract? Well, I guess we can't use him then. Oh well.
Pretty much. Okay. We're gonna put a pause on this topic. I want to hear a Tim hot take.
You want to hear me give you a hot take?
I would like to hear a Tim hot take.
I have a WWE hot take.
That's fine. That's fine.
Triple H will be removed from his position by TKO.
Why?
Because they're going to use him as a scapegoat. We all know that they had a hard time selling tickets for last Friday's SmackDown. And the excuses were, well, it was Halloween. Well, we had a football game. Well, there was the Game 7 of the World Series. We had a lot of competition, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, that would be declining viewership. But when it's in your town and you've got the money to buy the tickets, it's still an event that you will put above other things if you are a fan. They're pricing themselves out of the market, and people are complaining they can't go to a WWE event anymore because of ticket prices, which have jumped considerably. Now, TKO has decided they're reducing the number of house shows that they do, non-televised events, and at the same time, increasing prices of the ones that they keep doing, thinking, well, we don't need to have our guys work as much, but we can still make more money. Now, there are hiccups in the product as far as creative and everything goes. Everything goes up and down and has its turns. And sure, Triple H, when he first came in, was the golden boy because he spent 20 years doing it. So, oh, God, he's going to be a great booker. He's going to be fantastic with what we're going to see with the wrestling and the stories and the feuds and everything like that. And for the most part, he's done pretty good. And some of this stuff has been exceedingly entertaining and almost compelling, must watch. Like I say, for the most part, one of the problems, and this is something that a lot of former wrestlers who get into content suffer from, at least in the first few years before they get everything figured out. They draw programs on for too long, and a feud lasts longer than it should. And it's the same match on four PLEs as opposed to two or three. And that fourth one isn't necessary. Ended at three. That's been the standard. That the third one is always the blow-off. It's the odd number. If you have four, you've got to make it best of seven. Way too much. They're thinking, well, you know, people are tuning us out. People aren't buying tickets. It's got to be the problem with the guy booking the show. It's not. Not least not to the extent that is being reported.
So I'm going to bust this hot take. So you're basing him being removed from creative first. How long? When would this happen?
By January.
By January. So you're basing Triple H being removed from creative because one SmackDown event in Salt Lake City, Utah, did 5,000 tickets.
No, it's not one. It's not just that. House shows attendance is down.
No, it's not.
And has been. It's been down. It's slow. There is a small drop. There is. But at the same time, there, and I'm not going to say if it's substantiated, confirmed, verified, or trust me, bro, for sources or anything like that.
This is a Vince Russo hot take. I've seen it on the internet. So I want to see you continue with this one.
Anyway, I don't know anything about Vince Russo. I don't pay attention to him because, brother, Vince, it's Vince Russo, bro. And you know, bro. And we've spoken about Vince Russo, bro. So no,
but yeah, but continue on. This
anyway, I didn't know that Vince Russo had a hot take like this.
This is 100% a Vince Russo hot take. But let's keep going. I want to keep hearing. Yeah,
yeah. No, I don't want to keep going anymore now because you told me this.
Because the internet is basing it off of, hey, they sold 5,000 tickets one night in the Salt Lake City, and then 5,000 seats again in the same city. That, oh, Triple H should be removed from a creative because the attendance is down for one event. Can you want to know how many tickets they sold for the next Raw, the next Monday?
All of them.
Yeah, about 11,000 plus tickets for the next show they did.
Okay, not quite all of them. No, not all of them yet.
Yeah, 11,000. It was pretty much sold out. I don't know how much that building held, but it was 11,000.
My point is, they're going to suffer with what TKO is doing. They're going to suffer, and they're going to use Triple H as a scapegoat. And he's not going to get fired or let go or any of that bullshit. They'll, you know, like call it a promotion or whatever, but he's going to get shuffled into something else. That's my hot take.
Your reaction?
I don't think they're going to remove him like that. Now, I've seen other things what TKO may do, which I think is more in line with, because it came from the actual CEO of TKO, which is reliance on old properties. I see them trying to be like, let's create some new things that are under our banner so we can make more money. That is a given. I don't think they're going to remove Triple H, though, because Triple H is essentially WWE's Dana White, and you wouldn't make the change from Dana White unless you have something for sure, absolutely 100%, I would say as good, if not better, to take that place. And tell me right now, who is in that position to take Hunter's spot immediately. Because if he's going to be replaced by January, according to Tim, they have to have that name lined up and ready to go now. And I can't say, I can't tell you who it would be.
Dutch.
No! That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah, I was just, I just threw that out there for your reaction.
So, I don't know how much of a hot take that is. I saw something recently where they're talking about, like, maybe not having as much reliance on the Big Four in terms of name or prestige for them. Which is also another hot take I have. But
going back, Tim, that was less of a hot take, more of a prediction. The hot take would have been WWE
needs to be removed.
WWE creative and attendance is failing under the leadership of Triple H. That would be the hot take. Then you predict what would happen. As a way to spice it up. Should have came out storming. WWE Creative is failing under Triple H, and he needs to be removed. That would have been a hot take.
Well, there you go, then.
I want to hear your next one, Brent.
Well, this was geared towards one company. Then I did some research, and I realized both are guilty of this, but one has more of an optic problem about it, and that is there are way too many goddamn belts in either company. Now, for those of you who may not have been paying attention, AEW has just introduced two new belts under their purview.
Technically three, if you count.
Technically three, but two of them are paired.
No, I was going to say there's another. Under the AEW company brand, there's three, including the Women's Pure Championship. But continue.
Yeah, that one I had already counted as one of the belts. But within recent weeks, they've introduced a set of women's tag team championships, which they are going through a tournament right now to christen their first set. And they have also introduced a national champion in the same vein / history of the NWA national champion. Now, the funny thing about that is when Tony says that, it prompts immediate response from wrestlers in NWA going, we still have this. This is ours. We're still, you know, Mike Mondo puts out the tweet of like, I am the national champion. So I don't know what you mean about the history of this and everything, because it's right here.
But 40 years, Brent, 40 years.
I get that. My question to you was, when I saw this immediately happen, what is the purpose of the national championship, according to AEW, Rock?
I couldn't tell you that it has a purpose.
It is supposed to be a title that can be defended anywhere in the world.
Everywhere. I love that he said, our partners at New Japan Strong are interested in having the belt defended there. Even in Ring of Honor, they're interested in your Ring of Honor. It's your own promotion.
Remind me, though, because this feels like deja vu. Wasn't this also the purpose of another title, Rock?
The All-Atlantic Championship?
Which became the International Championship. That was supposed to be the belt that you could go anywhere. It could be defended in any different company. You know, Rev Pro, New Japan, CMLL. It can go anywhere and do all of that. And for a little bit, it actually did, because you would have Orange Cassidy or Pac or whoever actually go to England when he had to work there because of visa issues and would defend the title at one of those kinds of shows. Cool. Then the title was absorbed into AEW proper and lost all meaning and is now being draped on the shoulders of Kazuchika Okada. Awesome.
Because AEW didn't want its talent working indie shows at that point.
Fantastic. Now they're going to try and do this with another belt.
You say that it's New Japan Strong and Ring of Honor. That's really not the world.
Oh, I understand. But the reason I say that this is not just an AEW problem is I did some math.
Okay.
So I went to the roster pages and I counted up all of the titles between AEW and Ring of Honor and WWE and NXT. You know, your two major kinds of things per company that you're going to see the titles featured.
Okay.
Including the new belts. AEW has taken the lead with 20 titles to be featured across technically three different shows. Dynamite, Collision, Ring of Honor, whatever the fuck they have.
ROH TV.
ROH TV, Honor Club, bullshit, that thing. So, 20 across three. WWE across Raw, SmackDown, and NXT has 19 titles.
Does that include the AAA belts?
That does not include the AAA belts, but it does include the Speed Championships.
Okay.
So, I didn't count the AAAs, because, and that also counts the Heritage Cup, because technically that's something that's defended. And they list it as a championship. The reason I say it's an optic problem is with WWE, they space it out so that it doesn't necessarily feel like a lot. You do have champions featured. They are defended on a fairly decent basis, but you don't usually sit there and go, there is a glut of titles in WWE.
Because mainly because it's brand specific.
It's brand specific, and two, I think it's because, for the most part, they space it out so that people are getting featured, and it's not like, you know, okay, we'll have the U.S. title defended here, and then maybe the next week, okay, the Intercontinental title is defended. So it's like, it doesn't feel like you have a waste of belts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
At least to me. In AEW, you have one person who has 12 to 13 different belts from all different companies, and that is her entire gimmick. You have another person who holds three of your individual titles, and there's confusion about, well, what technically happens, you know, can he defend one of them? Is it all three that have to be defended at the same time? And it just feels like we don't know what else to do, so we're just going to drape him with gold because people think he is, quote-unquote, one of the greatest. So we're going to make him that way in our company. It's one of those things when it comes to this, like I said, it's very much an optics problem because when you look at the math, they're very much the same, but they don't feel the same. It feels very much like WWE can manage theirs in a way that it doesn't feel like there's too many, or that you actually don't realize the fact that they have 19 different championships. AEW, and I think it's also because they bring in other companies' titles to bolster them. And yes, if you do add the AAA belts, then yes, it does get a little bit heavy on that, with the fact that you've got like Ethan Page with two belts. You have Chelsea Green now with two belts. You've got Dominic with two. I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing for AAA, but at least when they drop them, it'll mean something, as opposed to other places where I think if they drop other companies' belts, it's going to be either by forfeiture or you won't hear a damn thing about it.
Hotter take on that one, Brent. The national championship will be overshadowing the crowning of the new women's tag team champions.
See, the funny thing is, I don't know if that's a hot take as much as it is just a statement of fact.
I mean,
but
if you're the women of AEW, I would be pissed.
Oh yeah, you just had the women's title announced, you're just doing the tournament for it, and now you have this immediate title introduced right in the heart of your tournament. And don't forget, you still have the Pure Championship that's being crowned, but we heard nothing about that. I mean, we don't even know when the next matches for that is supposed to be.
Final Battle. Final Battle, apparently.
Well, that's only because we looked it up a couple of weeks ago, and even still, we're like, wait, is this really happening at this point?
No, I saw a graphic. Final Battle in December. It should be the finals.
Oh, cool. Let me...
Circle the calendar. In 1 month's time, we will have a women's pure champion. Everyone
gets
excited.
Your inaugural women's champion. They still don't even have the semifinals done ahead of the December 5th final battle match.
Because isn't someone hurt? I think isn't
the last semifinal is Serena Deeb versus Yuka Sakazaki.
Mm-hmm. Isn't
Queen whenever that's supposed to be
Queen
Amanada? Queen Amanada is now hurt.
She's now
because,
hurt.
Yeah, she got pulled from the women's Blood and Guts and is replaced by Mina Shirakawa.
Yeah, that's it. Talk about them throwing together war games before WWE does war games just to do it. Look at that women's match.
That yeah, the women's match is a cluster. And then I love the fact that they're having a best of three to determine the advantage instead of just having like the, we're going to put one on one to see who gets advantage. It's like, no, we have to do a best of three across all of our shows to try and get you to watch them.
Makes no sense. So, yeah. Tim, did you have another hot take?
I actually do not.
Okay, Brent, what else do you have?
This is something we've talked a little bit about on this channel before, but I want to reintroduce it because it is still a little spicy, and I want to see if even chat has some say in this as well. And that is, we always like to harken back to certain things, right, Rock?
We do.
We talk about certain eras, we talk about certain thing, you know, like, oh, do you remember back when, ... So my hot take is essentially that, yeah, our nostalgia is not as good as we remember it, and we need to get over that. There was a lot more shit that happened in the past, and even today, than we care to admit, but you always want to latch on to what the quote-unquote good things are. Because as much as we're like, oh, the Attitude Era, if you go back and watch Attitude Era shows, there's a lot that you slog through. As much as there's Stone Cold and, you know, The Rock and DX and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, there's also the Oddities and the Headbangers and, you know, shit that you're like, why would I watch this? But we want to hearken, but we want to remember only the good times. And it's, I'm sorry, nostalgia is not that. So I was watching something earlier today, and I think it was either 4 or 6 years ago today, or like this weekend, when the Rock and Roll Express came back and pulled off the, I guess, what could lightly be called the Canadian Destroyer on Proud and Powerful. Remember that moment, Rock?
No.
No?
No.
It was when the Young Bucks and Robert Gibson had to rope slingshot Ricky Morton over the top, and he like half slid slowly down the back of, I think, Ortiz to deliver the worst Canadian Destroyer I've ever seen.
I kind of forgot who Proud and Powerful was, to be honest with you.
You know, TNA World Champion Mike Santana and Ortiz, who is now just a producer in AEW.
If you said Santana Ortiz, I knew who that was. Proud and Powerful? that was yeah. terrible name.
Yeah, it was a bad name. It was, I mean, when, God, the Inner Circle, when it formed, it was one of those things where it was like they tried to make them seem like a really big faction, and you're looking at it like, nowadays you look back and you're like, wait, Jake Hager? Sammy Guevara? I mean, I guess they're people to fill out a faction.
They were people.
And then there was, remember, in response to that, The Pinnacle.
Yeah.
With, FTR, Wardlow, Sean Spears?
And MJF? You tell me. I think so.
I tried to remember. Oh, no. Sean Spears was in The Pinnacle, because remember, he ended up in the feud with Wardlow and the chairman and all that bullshit.
Everyone remembers that. Mm-hmm. Highlight of the year.
But yet, no, looking back to, like, some of these things, because, I mean, we're getting into nostalgia with, like, the John Cena run. And, you know, we look back and it's, like, the eras of the John Cena career. We had, you know, the Ruthless Aggression, where he first debuted and he did not have the chain. And then we had the Doctor of Thugonomics, who everyone loved because of the raps. But remember, when it started, he looked like a fucking joke. He was R-Truth, but white.
I mean, it's not a lie.
No, he came out with the little Word Life knuckles. He had the big chain, and it was just the fact that he did Max Caster before Max Caster was even in diapers. And that's what ended up getting him over, was the fact of, like, yeah, he would drop some bars, and everyone would be like, ooh, I can't believe he said that. And people started to like him. Then he became a face and started to embrace more of the hustle, loyalty, respect side, and everyone then started to hate him, unless you were under the age of 10. But no one wants to remember some of those things of, like, some of the cheesy shit that John Cena did, because now that he's on his way out, it's nostalgia. It's, look, let's remember the good times. Let's remember the big moments. Let's, you know, oh, let's get him to fight Edge, because that's going to, you know, we want to see that as his last match, even though you're never going to get that.
But there's a surprise, Brent. There's going to be a surprise announcement. They're going to fight LA Knight. I don't know. It's going to be Edge on Friday against LA Knight. It's Edge.
It's not. It's not going to be Edge. I'm sorry, y'all.
But it's Edge. Come on, Brent. It's Edge. It's going to be Edge.
I saw something online, and I firmly agree with it. There's a reason why Nick Aldis did not name the person fighting LA Knight.
Because if he said his name, he would appear.
Exactly.
And you can't say it and not have him appear.
Right. It's one of those things also that if you do that in that moment, then people will pop because it is the bit. If you just announce Joe Hendry is part of the tournament, if that's where you go, then it's, oh, okay.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
You said his name. You actually said the name. And
I know, and I had to do the clap, too, so it's just part of the thing. But, yeah, no, with that thing, it's like, there's a reason why they announced the fact that you have people from Raw, from SmackDown, from NXT, from possibly other places. It's so that you can introduce he who should not be named, and you're like, oh, that's where they're pulling that from. Or like we talked about last week, if you want to bring in a Matt Cardona or Dolph Ziggler, you still fulfilled that requirement as well.
Because they don't even work here.
Right. Oh my God! Matt Cardona is back for the fact to fight for John Cena! It's like, yeah, cool. And there's history there. Yippee. But I think we all know who it's probably going to be. We've talked about it.
He
is now becoming the new retirement guy, and that's cool. Because that's something that could actually give him some additional character.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the sacredness of the ring. I'm going to remove the people who should not be here. Goldberg, Cena, whoever he deems is not worthy, he can say, I'm going to retire you. But yeah, ultimately, it's fine to bring some things back for like a quick little thing. Nostalgia? Cool. You want to introduce one tiny little bit? Fine. You want to bring someone back for a one match or, you know, just a very quick brief run of like two or three matches for a pay-per-view. Awesome. But also don't sugarcoat the fact of like, everything was great. Look, this person's an icon. And it's like, they also had some really stupid shit, just saying. So yeah, when we look back on like the Attitude Era, it ain't all wine and roses, y'all. Just saying.
That was pretty good hot takes. We did a good job. I hope you don't have any more. Or do you?
They can wait.
We could do that on another Sunday when there's nothing to do.
Sure, because one of them ties into the fact of, oh my God, I can't believe they're burying this person, even though they're not. People need to learn what the term burying means, because apparently Julia is buried right now.
Oh my God, she lost a championship.
Did she have a great U.S. title run? That's arguable. But is she quote-unquote buried? Fuck no.
She's moving into a title program with Tiffany Stratton.
That's a horrible thing, especially because you may actually want to have some good matches and good things between them and not have to worry about, oh shit, does this mean if Tiffany wins that we have to put a belt on her again after she just lost one?
There you go. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but we'll delve into that a little bit more later.
We'll get into those topics. Anyway, think about losing the title, it's the fact that she lost 2 minutes. Welcome to TV wrestling? Nah. We're done. It was Hot Takes Sunday. And it was so hot. We won't be back until for 2 weeks. We're back on the 23rd to preview Survivor Series. That's how hot this show was. Or there's an Eagles game next weekend. I'm watching the Eagles game. But you could figure out which answer you think is better.
Eagles.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that'll do it for WTS on Wrestle Talk Radio Live here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night there is no show. Hey Tim, wanna know why there's no show tomorrow?
There is no show tomorrow because why?
You just mentioned it.
Eagles.
But that means Thursday, 10 PM Eastern. We're gonna talk Monday Night Raw. We're going to react to Raw on Thursday on The Rack, 10 PM Eastern. We'll be back on Saturday for CB Radio at 11:30 PM Eastern. As I mentioned, I'm watching the Eagles, so we'll be back in 2 weeks for another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio. to preview Survivor Series. Check out 40 Days of John Cena on all our social media channels on at Wild Talk Radio on Facebook or Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and it's on the YouTube.com/RecRadioShow. It's 40 Days of John Cena impersonation entrances, so check them out. We're gearing up for a lot more content there. Is that Wild Talk Radio? Go ahead.
I was going to say El Grande Cena just didn't fly.
Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. At Wild Talk Radio. Tim has socials.
I do. You can follow me at Blaine's Forums. And you best do so, because interacting on X is what I do.
Right?
Yeah, you can find me across various social media, whether that's Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky when it's not horribly crazy, at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I tend to put some hot takes there myself. So, you'll see.
There you go. Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's no longer Prime Gaming. It's no longer Twitch Prime. It's just a free Amazon Prime sub. Hit the button below the screen. Subscribe for free. You can use credit card Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all the Simpsons characters, because it's taken over Fortnite. Hashtag Epic Partner. This is where Tim says goodnight.
Hey everybody, have yourself a great night. Enjoy the next 2 weeks with us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for the preview for Survivor Series. Do whatever you gotta do, but make sure you get up in the morning, because school and work and stuff. Good night. From neon and fucking garbage, scream out, what will save us? And the sky opened up. Everybody wants to change the world. Everybody wants to change the world. But no one, no one wants to die. Wanna try. Wildtalkradio.com.